According to
the name of the movie should have just been The Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn. It has fucking nothing to do with the Birds of Prey, but whatever.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are discussing Birds of Prey, the sequel to Suicide Squad that somehow is not shitty. We are going to spoil the shit out of it, though, so beware.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hey, Molly Glover.
And Nick Glover.
That's me. I'm at that one.
And we're not talking about the latest Mario game, although it might sound like we are. We're actually here to talk about Birds of Prey.
Oh, that's right. We're going to talk about Birds of Prey. That's so great, Mr. T.
Good job, Puddin.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to spoil the shit out of it. Not that this movie is really heavily spoilable, but
there is a plot.
If you give a shit about spoilers, and you don't want this movie to be spoiled, stop listening.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now. Because after this, we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
Ready and now.
Yep. And now. Okay, so we all saw Birds of Prey.
Yes. Yeah.
It's technically a sequel to Suicide Squad.
It is.
Yeah.
It mentions some of the things that took place in mm-hmm. Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Particularly the Harley Joker things.
Yep.
Yes.
And it's Margot Robbie reprises her role.
Yep. As Harley Quinn. And
that's it. No one else reprises their roles.
And thank goodness for that.
I don't even think we see Jared Leto's face.
No, I
think we see like the back of his head or his
It might not even
silhouette.
Be the back of his head.
Right.
I'm going to say right up front that I may accidentally confuse this movie with the Harley Quinn show on DCU because they have a lot of similarities.
They do.
In that it is a strong ass Harley Quinn getting over the fact that Joker dumped her and moving on with her life and trying to show the world that she's a badass on her own.
Yeah.
So if I say something and you're like, that didn't happen in the movie, it happened in the DCU show.
If you liked the movie, that show is dynamite. If you like
great.
Venture Brothers, that show is very similar in tone and style.
So I guess what I should say is if you haven't seen the Harley Quinn DC TV show, Molly's going to spoil the shit out of that.
I won't spoil it on purpose. So, I'll do my best not to.
So beware. Molly, Nick, what did you think of Birds of Prey?
It was super fucking fun.
I thought it was just delightful. I love Margot Robbie, and I thought she was the only part of Suicide Squad worth watching.
Yeah.
So I was very happy that she was getting a movie. I love her take on Harley.
Yep.
And I right off the bat, love how they were like, Joker broke up with me, and the first thing she does is cut her hair, and because that's what you do, like, she cuts off her ponytails and gives herself bad bangs, and then she cries, and then, like, you know, it was very good, the setup.
The action is super fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
The storytelling is a little awkward at first, but it figures itself out. And I think it's my favorite movie in the DC universe. I don't even have to think about that.
It beats Shazam for me.
My favorite movie in the DC universe. Did you see that Ron Bauman, friend of the show Ron Bauman, and I agree on a DC movie? Our favorite DC movie. Holy shit. That is the most impressive thing about this movie.
Yeah, it's bringing together fractured families.
Bringing together friend of the show Ron Bauman and Nick Glover on DC
universe movies.
Dogs and cats living together.
It's fucked up.
Total bedlam.
I don't know. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I was not... because Suicide Squad is just shitty.
Oh, yeah. It's so boring.
It's a shitty movie. It's bad storytelling. It's bad action.
No one commits suicide.
Nobody commits suicide.
Not once.
Not a goddamn one of them.
The plot doesn't make sense, and the superhero trope formulaic nature of it is rough.
Yeah, it's everything that's wrong with, I mean, every kind of bad movie choice you can make was made in Suicide Squad. Yeah. So I was like, I liked Margot Robbie in Suicide Squad. Agreed. She was the best part of Suicide Squad by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, if you did a Margot Robbie cut of Suicide Squad that was nothing but Harley Quinn, it would probably be 75% good because she still ended up in some really shitty scenes.
Right.
She was just
she's still doing in the her movie. Best
to not make them shitty.
Yep.
There are some like stylistic holdovers that they did in this, like just like Suicide Squad, when they introduce a character, they flash their name and a little bit of bio information about them up on the screen, kind of breaking the fourth wall a bit.
But there's some
continuity.
Yeah.
Beyond just Harley. Even though it was the same, similar to what they did in Suicide Squad, here it felt more like I'm in Harley's fractured brain.
Right.
Yes.
Akin to Deadpool. She's often, the way she is in the comics these days, she's often kind of referred to as DC's Deadpool.
I really like Harley Quinn and always have. The reasons I'm not like, oh, I'm a Harley girl, you know, like I'm into that, is her relationship with Joker is so disastrously abusive and awful that, you know, it's, you know, much like if, you know, it's definitely a red flag if someone tells you that his favorite love story is Harley Quinn and the Joker.
Yeah.
Right? Like that should be like a goodbye, we shouldn't even be friends situation, right?
Yeah.
But like, because it was that Joker dumped her, which of course, big ups to that, because that is how it would happen, right? She's not going to dump the Joker. The Joker dumps her and is very public about it.
The type of abusive relationship they're in, it kind of makes more sense this way. I get that. And
she reacts badly, but then she decides to take her revenge and it's great.
Yeah. Which is, again, similar to the animated
show.
Yeah.
I also really, 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 really like the hyena that she gets.
Bruce.
That she names Bruce. Because he's just like that cute Bruce Wayne. Just look at him. He looks just like him.
The hunky guy.
He's just a big hunky guy. Yeah. It's great.
The hyena, she has hyena pets.
The Joker does as well. Yeah, it's kind of all the way back to Batman the Animated Series, or even Killing Joke. I think he has hyenas as well, which is pre Harley. Harley Quinn is a character that was invented in Batman the Animated Series, the 90s cartoon show.
Yep.
That is her origin. Yep. Paul Dini then did a comic about her afterward called Mad Love. She was only intended to be a henchman for the Joker in one episode and be like a throwaway character. And she was such a fan favorite right off the bat that they brought her back a bunch and really gave her a background and made her Harleen Quinzel. Mad Love came after her first appearance in Batman the Animated Series. Yeah. And again, like, I think Paul Dini is responsible for some of the character design. She's based off a famous actress who dressed up as a Harlequin for a movie she was in, and I can't remember her name. But she's inspired by.
Let me look that up.
I also really... Okay, so talking about the other women in the movie, I really loved Huntress, who is played by someone that... she's Ramona Flowers from Scott Pilgrim.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah. So if you were, like, watching Birds of Prey and you were like, God, where do I know Huntress from? Why do I know her? She's Ramona Flowers, and she's been in, obviously, other things, too, but... I thought she was great as the daughter of the crime syndicate family that got murdered.
Yeah.
And she was the survivor who played dead, and that someone knows she's alive, because when they were checking all the bodies, they noticed this 9-year-old girl hadn't been killed, and the henchman or whatever was like, and let
Arlene Sorkin, by the way.
Arlene Sorkin?
The actress that she's...
The actress that was...
Yeah.
Arlene or Arlene?
Arlene.
Okay. Because it would have been crazy if it was Harleen.
Yeah, but, right.
That
could be where part of the...
Totally.
Yeah.
So I really liked Huntress a lot. I liked the cop okay. She was very tropey.
So All right.
She's a tough Latina who's on the force, and she doesn't take any shit.
So, Renee Montoya, also a character that whose origin is in Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, okay.
And she is a lesbian in the comics.
Okay.
In the movie.
Is she? Do they show?
Yeah, they mentioned that the prosecutor's her ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, right on. Oh, okay. I didn't catch that.
She's a throwaway or maybe I forgot
it. It's a super throwaway thing. They just mentioned.
But it's she is a dope character, and
right.
I feel like she got a little bit of the short end of the stick in this movie, but
they just made her the usual crazy cop who
who doesn't, the rules are optional and blah blah blah. She is, her whole thing is like she's like the last good cop in Gotham.
Okay.
And then eventually later I think she actually becomes the Question.
Okay. All right.
Which is the character that Rorschach was based on.
Okay. Cool.
So yeah, I back to the Huntress for a second. Yeah. I really enjoyed the way she's like a super capable killing machine and totally socially inept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because she watched her whole family get murdered at age 9, and
she spent the rest of her life just getting ready to kill the fuckers who killed her family.
She's a very Arya Stark character.
The running gag with her name Huntress was super funny.
Yep. God damn it. Like, everyone, when they finally say her full name, and she's like...
Crossbow assassin.
Like,
crossbow killer.
Oh, no. It's like, Valerie Bershing is kind of Linnelli or whatever. Yeah. She's like, God damn it. Yeah. Like, it's just,
One thing about her costume specifically that I think applies to the rest of the movie as well is... some people have been putting up pictures of Harley from Suicide Squad and Harley from this movie, and alongside pictures of like Huntress and mm-hmm. Renee Montoya and the other women in the movie, and saying like I can't always identify what is and isn't the male gaze and how to define that. But, and then they show a picture of what Harley's wearing in Suicide Squad.
Daddy's a little monster with her tits out to here.
And the like, booty short underwear that are...
ponytails.
Like, no one's going to put themselves in sequins underwear for running around in action because that shit pinches.
Yeah,
And then look at what she's wearing in this movie.
Still crazy and over the top.
But not, like, a sexual object. But still... sexy.
Normal boobs. And
And so I dug that. I thought Huntress's outfit is awesome because what she wears in the comics is kind of like Hawkeye midriff. In a bathing suit.
Yeah. It's like, midriff bearing.
No, it's like a one piece.
Is it?
Like her legs are completely.
Am I thinking of Canary? Young Justice? Isn't she in Young Justice?
Oh, no. That is Artemis.
Artemis. Okay. Right. Okay. You can understand where I got a little confused.
Yeah.
The arrow and the leather.
But Huntress is a Batman adjacent. She's part of the...
Okay.
The Bat crew, kind of.
Yeah. Some kind of Bat squad.
Right.
Who else was... Who were the other characters? The other birds of prey?
So... There's Black Canary... and Cassandra Cain.
Black Canary, who at the very end, they're like, you should just use your powers. And she's like, oh, right, I have these insane powers. And then she uses them, and it's like, oh.
But I don't like to use them. But
I just don't want to.
They showed her getting upset when she's lounge singing and cracking some glass and stuff a few times. Like, they clearly...
They've set up that something's there.
I did not get that at all. It's because... It is a very common trope in movies that a woman who is good at singing can break a glass, and it's nothing supernatural.
Sure.
So I didn't get that it was a supernatural thing at all, just that, like, she had, like, a very powerful voice. So when all of a sudden it was like, oh, she has the powers, I was like, oh, she's Black Canary. I did not put that together at all.
It's interesting that she's Dinah, who is Black Canary.
Yeah.
But they talk about her mom and her mom having powers.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar enough with the character in the comics to know if that's like a thing from the comics.
Her mom was Black Canary and that she was just...
She's Dinah Lance. Same name as the Black Canary, the first Black Canary in the Arrow and all that.
Well, maybe there's a little retconning going on.
Yeah. Cassandra Cain is the girl that...
Yeah.
The pickpocket. And like... My biggest complaint about the movie is that they should have made a new character because Cassandra Cain is someone in the comics. She
not
is
a little girl who's a pickpocket.
Orphan, or is she spoiler? No, she's orphan. I'm pretty sure. And yeah, she's like a Batman adjacent. She's like a Batgirl or a Robin or a Nightwing.
Oh, not a criminal.
She's a vigilante without powers who is trained in that same way as them and operates similarly.
Okay.
And so, like, I mean, maybe they'll do that with her in the next movie.
Sure.
Maybe she'll be that character, but that's, like, not who she is. This isn't her background. This is all completely made for the movie.
Yeah.
Except for the name.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
If that's your biggest complaint.
I mean, didn't like her character.
The movie is, they call it Birds of Prey. And
the really, Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
The title is Birds of Prey, the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
You got a problem these days.
Clearly I do. And the Birds of Prey part is really secondary.
So it's Black Canary, that's a bird.
Yeah.
And then
Huntress is
not
a bird.
Of prey. That's not a bird name. What's for real, I don't get the Birds of Prey thing.
I
the whole movie I was waiting for there to be something that made that make sense, and I do not understand.
Oracle is a member of the Birds of Prey.
Again, also not a bird.
And Oracle was Batgirl. But bats aren't birds. But I'm
just so confused by this.
So that's a complaint I heard people say as well, is that, you know, hey, this is a really good opportunity to have Oracle, who is in a wheelchair, who is like the person in the guy in a chair for Birds of Prey. And
she has to be, because the Joker severed her spine.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
I thought that was Barbara.
Yeah. Barbara Gordon.
Oh, Barbara Gordon.
Barbara Gordon
Oracle.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was Batgirl.
She was until the Joker severed her spine.
I see. And then she becomes Oracle.
Right.
But
because she can't have the same name. She couldn't be Batgirl in a wheelchair.
Right. Someone else is Batgirl. But there's been Batgirl. Like Hawk and Dove were Birds of Prey at
one
point.
See, that makes sense. Both birds.
Neither. One of them is not a Bird of Prey.
But at least they're fucking
Lady
birds.
Lady Black Hawk, Hawk Girl.
Again, with the birds. I just don't understand this one. Legitimately,
Starling, that's a bird.
See, I was just so fucking confused because it was like Huntress, Lady Cop, Black Canary, sure, okay, and then Harley Quinn. The Birds of Prey.
Harley Quinn is not a bird of prey, is she? I mean, she may have
been. No, if she is, it's much later. But I think the originals are Huntress, Hawk and Dove, Lady Blackhawk, Black Canary, and Oracle.
Sure.
Which, I mean, makes sense for the name, right?
They've got Hawk and Dove cast. They could have put Hawk and Dove in this movie.
Do the DC universe shows do not coexist in the same universe?
Oh my god!
Because
so
DC
fucking
is
stupid.
DC is just they don't fucking get it.
Well,
we got a great Hawk and Dove who could have done even just a cameo.
They get it in one way, and that's that in the TV show, like the WB style TV shows, they've gone completely and totally multiversal and brought in characters from the DC cinematic universe. And, like, fucking Kevin Conroy, who was the voice of Batman in the animated series. And, like, they've brought in DC actors from every... They brought in Burt fucking Ward.
Yeah.
Like, they...
That's... Yeah.
That's kind of cool. It's not my bag. I don't watch those shows, but I can appreciate it.
In any event...
Yeah.
That was the movie. To me, with the Birds of Prey thing, that was very confusing.
I get it.
And I also was not really understanding why, in all the previews I saw, when they were like... Dun 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 guy dun 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 this one, you know, like trying to show you everyone who was in it. They showed that cop Montoya, who was like an antagonist for the entire movie
until the last half hour.
When
yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
We got to team up,
and she's like, I guess.
Yeah,
and that was it was very I don't know. So I feel like that they whiffed on that, and they should have just made it a Harley Quinn movie with those characters being introduced, and then made a Birds of Prey movie that could have been really great, and
right.
They could have brought in Oracle and everyone else, because we would have been introduced to at least a few of the characters.
And they might have had a slightly better box office if they'd called it a Harley Quinn movie instead of calling it Birds of Prey. And, I mean, here's the thing, though. It's a really fun movie, and one of the things that articles that was getting circulated today is a lot of... We've talked about how the press... shape stories.
Mm-hmm.
So Birds of Prey is being shaped as a box office flop.
Right.
And in fact, it's not.
It made its money back in the first weekend.
It made its money
domestic.
Back in the first weekend, but it did not meet projections by the studio.
Sure.
Now,
it made less than any other DC movie on the opening weekend, but it cost less than any other DC movie to make.
And I don't think that, and I always think that studios don't do math right.
No.
Because I always say you've got to do sequel math. All right?
Yeah.
Birds of Prey is a sequel to Suicide Squad, and everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And Suicide Squad was shitty.
Yeah.
And if you ever watch a movie and you go, that movie was, if a sequel to a good movie is shitty,
yeah,
it will do well, right? But then the next sequel will do poorly.
There's a reason.
Even if that one's better.
Yeah.
There's a reason I've only seen the first Transformers movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to see a Transformers movie and it was shit.
Right.
And
right.
then you're like, why would I spend money on more of these?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Birds of Prey underperforming to me says they were projecting without thinking about the fact that Suicide Squad was a shitty movie.
Right.
Right.
You know, speaking of Transformers, interestingly, there's a connection between Transformers and Birds of Prey, and that's Christina Hodson wrote the only good Transformers live-action movie ever made, Bumblebee, which is super
fun.
Fucking good.
Yeah, yeah,
she wrote this. She wrote this, too.
I think it's important to point out, Margot Robbie is the producer on this film.
Yep.
I haven't got the name of the director.
Kathy Yan.
Kathy Yan is the director. So it's written, produced, and directed by women.
And starring, and the only name attached to this that isn't, like, that's a big name that isn't a woman is Black Mask.
Ian McGregor, yeah.
Right. And he's Ian McGregor as the egomaniacal gangster is pretty great.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
He's a good evil guy. It was kind of a waste of Zaz to have him be his bodyguard.
Yeah.
Zaz, they showed him in Scars in this, but they didn't explain anything about that is. Zaz is a non-powered serial killer in the Batman universe. He's a Batman villain, primarily, I think. Every scar in his body is a kill. And that's about all you need to know about Zaz is he kills people. He likes knives. He puts scars on himself when he kills people.
He never has any accidents. Do you think if he gets if he accidentally cuts himself or like trips and like gouges up
his gotta go kill someone.
He's gotta go kill someone, and then he also doesn't get the joy of scarring himself.
Right. Positive, like, that's correct.
It's gotta be, right?
I hope someone writes that. That sounds like something Gail Simone would write.
Yeah, that would be great.
Gail Simone, by the way, all over this movie. She wrote Birds of Prey for a while. She's kind of the modern Birds of Prey writer, and she loved it. And she visited the set and.
Yeah, and that's so the problem is that this movie is getting characterized as a flop.
It's not.
And it's not. It's not a flop.
People love to see things fail. And I'll admit that I am guilty of Schadenfreude overdose as much as anyone else. I love to shit on Batman versus Superman or Justice League or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that I'm kind of rethinking my philosophy on all that because the joy of shitting on things just for the sake of shitting on them is getting really old.
Well, you're getting old too.
Well, I mean,
honestly,
that's
it's a young man's game, sure. Right? Like, and genuinely, I think that we are living in a time when there is more media than there ever has been, and it is ever increasing.
Yeah.
Right. There is an ever increasing amount of media available to us all the time.
Right.
Especially new media.
Yeah.
And as a result, one of the ways that our human brains decide to help us pick through it is to actively shit on anything that we think looks dumb. And if what we think looks dumb is getting a lot of money to get made, whereas things we wish were getting made aren't getting made, there is Schadenfreude in seeing, for example, like the Sonic movie. And like my brother went and saw it and was like, well, Sonic was definitely in it. And that's all I can say about that. And it's like, you know, that feels good. Cause I'm like, fuck that. Cause that movie looks stupid. Like,
he also said Dr. Robotnik, Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik was fucking awesome.
He did. So like, there's this thing where it's like, part of me is like, yeah, good. That reinforces the biases I brought to this table, which were fuck Sonic.
You want to be binary about it because it's like, fuck this movie or I love this movie because then it's easier to watch and not watch
it
and whittle it down.
It makes you feel better about when your confirmation biases are reinforced, it makes you feel better. You get serotonin and your brain is like, see, we're smart.
But I mean, I got to admit, I didn't think I was going to like Birds of Prey.
Really?
Well, I, you know, It's a fucking sequel to Suicide Squad.
Right.
I knew I was going to like it because I fucking love Margot Robbie.
Well, and because we've been watching the Harley Quinn show, and so we kind of, yeah, that set us up for this, really, quite a bit.
Sure, absolutely. But it still could have been shitty.
Oh, no, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, that's the thing. And
it's still a live-action DC movie.
The DCEU is mostly bad.
And you know what? I've seen good, like, unequivocally good movies and been disappointed because I went into it with the wrong expectations, yeah, or because I thought it was boring. The Master, which won a bunch of awards, that is supposed to be a really, like, I thought that movie was boring as shit.
Yeah,
like,
we were going to do an episode on it until we watched it. We're like, oh.
I know, well, I remember.
So Christina Hodson, who wrote this, is writing the screenplay for Batgirl and The Flash.
Great.
So maybe they're learning.
Maybe they're learning. And that's the takeaway from this. Birds of Prey, The Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn, maybe they're learning.
Maybe they're not, because it depends on whether or not they look at the money this movie's making and consider it a failure.
Fucking capitalism. Ruining art for the last 200 years.
Forever. for more longer than 200 years.
Yeah.
Look at all the goddamn religious art they were doing for 800 fucking years.
Yeah.
Because that's all anybody was allowed to produce.
Yep.
I really loved the action in this quite a bit.
It was great.
The
choreography.
The evidence room scene where she gets the bat and she's bouncing it off the floor like Captain America's shield into people and shit. Yep. And she's hiding behind the big mound of evidence cocaine and sniff, sniff.
When they shoot up the pallet of cocaine and it sprinkles down over her and she's like... And then the ding when her eyes open is just
it's like a Popeye getting his spinach moment. Like, yeah. I thought that, like, that's a little bit risky for them to, like, embrace drugs like that. And to have such, like, there's not a lot of gore in this movie necessarily, but you see her club a guy's leg to a 90-degree angle in the wrong direction, flip her bat around, and club it back into place the other way. Like, it is fucking brutal.
But they can get away with a lot of this because she's a bad guy. Like, she's a bad guy. Like, so you're not supposed to emulate her. She is a villain. And so...
The action was so slapsticky that it kind of reminded me of, like, Jackie Chan.
It was perfect fight choreography for someone whose, like, claim to fame is a giant hammer.
Or bat.
Or like a gun that goes bang. Or like, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
it was the right kind of fight choreography.
It was exact, and I was a little worried they might go a little grimdark with it. And everything was just so bright and colorful and crazy. When they're beating everyone up and they do all this stuff and she's all amped up and she's like, oh, that would be so good. Oh, we should get waffles or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, Harley, focus.
Order pizza.
We should order pizza. Like, Harley, focus. Okay, yeah. You know, and just like, just that, like, she's, you know, she's still crazy. You know, like, she doesn't change just because she's the protagonist.
And yet she still is psychoanalyzing everybody. Because she's got a PhD in psychology.
She had all those moments where she's a fucking doctor.
And if you love that, for real, the show is it's got so much of that. But, like, I love that she didn't go, and I guess, and I don't know, she didn't go into Manic Pixie Dream Girl for me.
No.
She didn't shade into that, like, teehee, mental illness is so cute when it's the right kind. Like, it didn't feel that way at all. You still felt sad for her, despite everything being, because she's a tragic villain. Like, this all got, you know, but, you know, it all got done to her other than the fact that she actively chose it. You know what I mean? Like, it's still terrible. She actively chose it in a situation where she had no choice or power, right? So it is a tragic thing, and you still felt like, oh, this poor girl, but it was fun to root for her, even though she was bad.
The stunt choreographers are Asian American folks that are big Jackie Chan fans, I'm reading now, which is great because I was kind of feeling for that.
Yeah.
And there were times like when Harley Quinn is on her roller skates behind the Huntress's motorcycle and all that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a stunt double. I mean, sure, she's probably not on roller skates being pulled behind that motorcycle. She's on a stable platform and she's super safe. But there are a lot of times in this movie where it's like, that is Margot Robbie doing that. Like it's not a stunt person doing that necessarily.
Yeah, I guess all of the leads did a lot of their own
stunts. To a degree that I didn't ever feel taken out of it when it was like, we see a whole bunch of stuff happening with the back of their head. It's like, yeah,
all right.
No, they did really good storytelling things. I mentioned something online without spoilers that there's a moment, and I'm going to spoil it now, but there's like the moment where they're like looking for weapons and all they find is some grenades.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, this is standard movie language, right? You show people finding grenades.
Chekhov's grenade.
Yeah.
That grenade is going to be important. Yeah. It has to be. But what they do is they have this big fucking fight scene and the grenade is never important.
Yep.
Right.
And then when she's like, oh, I got you your ring back.
Yeah, I stole
it. And you're like, oh, fuck, I forgot about the grenade.
As soon as she's like, oh, I stole your ring. It's like, what ring? And then she looks and she's just
holds up the
grenade pin. Yeah, it's just like, kid. Like, it's just,
The way Ian McGregor blows up is so fucking so great.
The fact that she's like, and the fact that it's like the Cassandra Cain swallowed that diamond. And so Harley Quinn's like, God damn it. Well, let's go get all the prunes and juice and laxatives we can find. You're going to shit that diamond out, kid. Like, we're, even though she knew, like, what would Joker make her do? Cut it out of her.
Yeah.
You know, but she's not going to do that. She's going to do, she's trying to change.
She's trying to be a less horrible person.
I read someone, I can't remember who, someone we know online said, the only man in this movie that doesn't betray or go after or be a dick to Harley Quinn is the cook who makes her egg sandwich.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's the thing she loves more than anything else in the world. And it's her, like, personal goal throughout the movie. The thing that she doesn't get and then she gets at the end is the egg sandwich.
You might not even know who she is.
And that's the guy, the only good guy to her in the entire movie is the guy that makes her fucking egg sandwich that she loves. That's great.
It's great. Yeah, it was it was really good movie. I if you haven't seen it and you've listened to this far, it's really, go see it.
Shit,
spoilers aren't going to really detract from your enjoyment on this.
It's a lot of fun.
And look, whether it is not a failure, but it could use more money. And I think there was all this talk. There was a lot of fair criticism, like with the Oscars this year, that they didn't manage to nominate a single woman for Best Director.
Mm-hmm.
And they never fucking nominate women for Best Director. And the way to actually get women more jobs in Hollywood...
spend money on their movies.
Is to spend money on their movies. And I've reached the point where I've got, like, AMC A-list.
Yeah.
And it's a good deal. If you go to more than three movies a month, it's a good deal. But if I'm, like, not able to go to see a movie that week, I will say I'm going to a movie if it's directed by a woman. Just because.
Yeah. Is it, does money go to the movies when you're on that list? Or is it?
I presume.
I don't know how that would work, because I imagine that money is just going to AMC.
Yeah, but AMC, it's still, when they're counting domestic box office, they're counting seats sold.
Okay. All right.
So
that's good.
I don't know how AMC reports.
Yeah, it might be worth looking into.
A-list seats, but it's still a seat that's sold. So
that's good.
Sell seats.
The next DC movie we get in just a few months, it's Wonder Woman 1984. And then next year we get The Batman. And we also, in 2021, get The Suicide Squad, which is not a reboot, but it is another Suicide Squad movie that's directed and written by James Gunn. And they're going in a different direction with it. They're going to have King Shark, Molly.
I know, but DC just fucks up everything. Like, they just, like... Why do we need another Batman movie?
Maybe we've got James Gunn, who's an irresistible force.
Yeah.
We've got DC movies, which is an immovable object.
King Shark.
And we'll see which one of them wins.
Well, Margot Robbie's going to be in it again.
I know. Feel like DC's philosophy is if it doesn't do well the first time, just fucking make it again.
I'm going to just read a couple names in it. All right. Idris Elba, John Cena, Nathan Fillion, Pete Davidson.
All right.
Like, Taika Waititi.
That sounds great.
Is in the movie.
That sounds great.
Yeah. They replaced Will Smith with someone else as Deadshot.
So help me God, if that Batman movie makes me watch Bruce Wayne's parents getting murdered
again.
Oh
my God, of course it will.
I got bad news for you, Molly. We're going to see it happen again.
Of course it will.
It's going to be a gun that shoots pearl necklaces.
Falling to the ground.
I want to see. I told Nick the other day that like the true grimdark version like would be like an SVU where it's like, oh yeah, his parents got shot in the alley and then the guy jerked off on Bruce Wayne's mom. They call it a pearl necklace, you know, like just some like really like get really gross with it.
And the thing is, as I honestly want to like DC movies. I like superhero movies. I like comic books. It's not like I go into any DC movie actively wanting to hate them.
Right.
You know,
I want good comic movies.
Yeah, I don't pay money to watch things I hate.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't go to Birds of Prey going, I want to hate this movie. I just went, it's probably not going to be that great. Oh, shit, this is really fun.
Yeah.
You know, but so it's like every time there's another one of their movies, I'm like, oh, great, another origin of Batman, thanks.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, guys, come on.
We don't need to see Uncle Ben die again.
Yeah. No. All right. Good.
Five questions. Shit. This should be a pretty quick one.
Yeah, we've got five questions from the hosts of Living Through Extinction. They say, we are new podcasters who launched January 1st.
Congratulations.
We love your show, and you seem to be in need of questions, so here are five questions for you about podcasting.
Ooh.
Oh,
excited. Y'all ready for this? All right, question one. When you found yourself with the ability to upgrade your equipment, how did you decide on the microphones you ended up buying?
Well, that's a Tim question.
I guess I could probably answer this question.
What did you decide?
I went into Guitar Center and I said, we are podcasters and I need microphones primarily for speaking. And, you know, we record on a computer. This is the program we use. We use Audacity. And the guy there was like, well, this is a really good microphone for the price.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what you bought.
That's what I bought.
Cool.
Yeah.
Question.
And I bought four of them.
Yeah.
Three of them.
Question two. Have you been with the same host for your feed since the beginning, or did you change at some point?
Same host.
Yeah, we use HostGator for the site, and we use WordPress on top of that. And then the plugin is PodPress.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we just take an RSS feed from that and feed it to a Google FeedBurner feed, and then we take that RSS feed, and that's the RSS feed that we use for iTunes and Stitcher and all that. That way we get the Google Analytics from the FeedBurner feed.
And we've been doing it that way for 8 years.
Since day one.
Almost 8 years at this point.
401 podcasts as of this one.
This is our 401st episode.
Holy shit.
And we've never missed a week.
I know.
That's nuts. All right. Question three. There are only two of us, and we have to take special steps to make sure we are not coming through on each other's mics. What challenges do you encounter with the three of you in the same room, and how do you overcome them? I will say one challenge is when we have a guest, especially because we're used to it by now. But when we have a guest, is that we have to be very close to our microphones, which means because we're gathered around a small table, we can't really be looking at each other necessarily while we're talking.
Right.
Which means you kind of have to be. It can feel sort of like you're just talking into the void. But also we had to come up with, nonverbal signals to each other when, like, if someone needs to ask a question or if we have a point we want to make, or when it's time to wrap it up. But because of that, we're all used to it. And then we'll have a guest on and they won't realize that's what we're doing. And like, one of us will hold up a finger to say, like, I have a question next. And the guest will be like, oh, what? Oh, did you? Oh, are you? And it's like, oh no, shit. Sorry, I just did the whole reason I was doing this was to not interrupt everything, and
it's to reserve a spot to talk next.
Yep.
I think if you listen to our early podcast, we talked over each other a lot more, and it's getting used to each other.
And yeah.
We do still talk over each other a little bit, but we're really good about letting each other finish thoughts before we jump in, and it's really just experience.
We also talk over each other a lot in real life, and we hang out often for stuff in real life, and it's just part of the dynamic, so that can be hard to not do.
And counterpoint, you know, don't go back and listen to our early episodes at all.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to.
Anyone who's going to listen to Geeks Without God, or if it comes up in conversation, someone's like, I should check that out.
I can think of 301 episodes that are better.
Like my first thing to say, I always say is like, don't start from the beginning.
Yeah, right? There's no need. There's no timeline.
Right?
Start around episode 100. That
Is
you're
it?
Starting to figure it out around then.
I feel like it. Yeah. All right. Question four. Did you have any discouraging times early on when your downloads were not up yet? I think they mean like number of people downloading it. Or was it something that you enjoyed doing enough that the audience numbers never mattered?
I'm the only one that ever pays attention to the numbers.
Numbers has never mattered to me. If I cared about an audience, I wouldn't do what I do for performing.
Do you look at the numbers on the website?
I look at the numbers on the website, and I know that they're not accurate.
I've never looked at the numbers. I've only been told them by other people. And honestly, I'm not kidding when I say if I was in this for the audience, like for making sure I had a big audience, I wouldn't be performing. I mean, I've done a show for two people.
Yep.
I have literally done an hour-long show for two people, and that's the gig, right? So podcasting to me, especially with this is just something that we do because we like it. And if someone listens, that's amazing. It still kind of feels crazy when someone will like recognize us from the show. Or Jeremy Stomberg, Everybody Drink, often will come up to me. He'll just text me out of the blue and be like, "You're fucking crazy about that." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Oh, the show today." And I'm like, "What show is it?
I don't even know.
Like, I don't even remember which one went up today.
We recorded it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
we record
them in bunches. Yeah. So, yeah.
I just realized I haven't looked at our feed burner analytics in like 2 years.
Oh, wow. So, nice. So, yeah. So obviously it's the second part to the question.
Yeah.
And then question five.
How many people are listening, Nick?
We have around 600 regular every week subscribers.
That's not bad.
But frequently, since 2018, let's say, we get somewhere between 800 and 1600 downloads a week.
Well, that's wonderful.
Or not a week, per episode. So
that's great. Question five. Do you take turns with editing and production, or is one person responsible for it? It's Tim.
It's me.
Tim does it. Tim was the one who had the idea for the show. Tim was the one who wanted to do a podcast. Tim came to us and said, "Will you join me on this podcast?" And kind of took responsibility for making it happen from the beginning. And we are all creatures of inertia.
Yeah. Tim, you post the stuff on PodPress and write up the descriptions and all that after doing the audio editing. And then
editing in that
well,
he
right.
runs it through
Levelator.
Yeah.
And trims the ends off.
I trim the ends off.
We don't edit the middle.
I add the intros and outros.
In case you can't tell, we do not edit
and
the middle.
I have occasionally edited the middle.
Oh, just on a few times. Yeah.
Yeah, only when there was like
an emergency.
Like I think there have been a couple of instances where we had like a really big technical glitch in the middle that I'm capable of doing it, but the whole point is this show is supposed to be natural.
Yes.
And then you
send me the MP3s and I put them up on Patreon.
Yep.
And I handle all the Patreon stuff more or less.
I tend to handle all the email side of things.
Yep.
Like when people write into us.
Like if we're arranging a guest.
I do all the five question stuff. And then oftentimes we all post on Twitter and Facebook depending on what grabs us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Tim is the one responsible for the show production.
Yeah, all the audio.
Yep, and it's his machine we record on.
Yep.
Yep.
And all the mics and stuff are in my basement, which is why when we record in the beautiful living room studios, we use the old mic.
Yep, which is where we are right now.
Because I'm on call.
Yep, we are in the Deepwood Mott studios using the old Snowball. Give him the old Snowball.
Hey, the old Snowball.
That's when you fuck a Minnesota girl outside.
Now we know.
Thank you, Living Through Extinction. I hope we answered your questions appropriately.
Or not. So, we've been Geeks Without God. We mentioned Patreon. We have a Patreon page. You can support us just a couple of dollars a month. We'll get you episodes early. You could have listened to this episode about Birds of Prey way closer to its release date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it will eventually be released. But all you got to do is pop over to Patreon, look up Geeks Without God, toss us a couple of bucks. We sure appreciate it. It helped us buy better audio equipment. We are super close right now to being able to update our website.
If there are things you wish we had or did for our patrons,
yeah,
we'd love to hear your suggestions.
Please.
If there's something that you were like, this other podcast does their thing for their patrons, and it'd be cool if you guys did that. The worst we can say is no, and honestly, we'd love to hear your ideas, because ultimately, that's less work for us.
That is exactly right. And also, we are going to have another special episode coming up pretty soon. We are going to watch the Star Wars Holiday Special, which I understand Nick and Molly have not seen.
Never. I'm familiar with parts.
I have seen it. I have seen it. But we're going to record a special episode for Patreon supporters only, where we will all watch the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oof.
And tell you our response. So that will be exciting and coming up very soon. Thanks for listening. Also coming up very soon will be our next episode. It's going to happen next week, like it does every week, because we've done it 401 weeks in a row. Let's make it 402.
Also, we need 5 questions. We're pretty low again.
Oh, shit. We don't have 5 questions. We're going to beg. Send us 5 questions. Any 5 questions.
Anything at all.
You can just ask us questions like red or blue, blue or green, black or white.
It'd be boring, Tim. But we'd make it work.
Yeah. I know.
Hot
topic. There's no good answer to that one.
I know.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
And as sure as I am that Batman fucks bats, Birds of Prey was a great movie.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
We were like, whoa!